Now, I've got a really good message that I believe is missing in the interpretation as far as most quote Christians. And what we want to do is we want to get the understanding, because that's what it comes down to. The process of this life is about understanding and then living this word, okay? So what we want to do is we want to focus in on what does God's word teach us? What does God's word say? And how can I be benefited from this word? Don't worry about the kids. Sounds like most of your guys' prayers. You guys pray like most of you pray like that. Okay. Right. Moving right along. So love is not always good. Say that with me. Love is not always good. That is something you have to understand. You have to understand that. Because again, we throw this love picture, especially in this, I'm telling you, this culture is totally perverted in the area of what love is, the definition of love. I mean, complete perversion. But it started, what, in the, when Tina Turner come out? 90s? When did Mad Max? 80s, 90s? What's love got to do with it? What's love but a... All right. Now, what did she say? What did the powerful, slick Tina Turner say? Love is a second-hand emotion. Love is a second-hand emotion. So in that concept, we hear that, and it's something where the world relates to it, and they look at love as just this flaky emotion. Because ultimately, and if you're honest with yourself, in your growing up in this life, how many of us truly, truly experienced love the way God talks about it? Exactly. So you know what? Because we don't understand his love, we can be convinced. And this is it. This is the problem. See, I've never experienced it growing up. I know a limited picture of love tied to provision. We always had food. We always had the clothes. We always had a house. We always had a car. So there was provision. My dad provided. But on the other part, that other connection of love, which is the most important, was not available. So I went through life not understanding it. So when Tina's singing that song and going, that's right. That's right. And so what happens is we get caught up in the world's definition or their viewpoint or opinion on something that is the greatest, most powerful word of all of anything, and that is love. Remember, the Bible makes this statement, God is love. And again, I hear that, and if I don't know this word, I line it to the secondhand emotion. God is a secondhand emotion. In other words, he's fickle, he's undecided, he kicked me in, he kicked me out, he'll smack me down, smack me up. He caused this, he made this happen. So yeah, I could line up with that because I don't know God is love by his definition. But once I know it, then I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to fall into the trap of what love is. And this is the problem is because, and I'm telling you, I'm talking church too, because a lot of, young people, and again, I've been in the ministry for a long time, I've seen this over and over and over, they don't really know what love is, so they operate through the secondhand emotion, and they get caught up in defining it love, and it's not at all. Love is when that person is miserable, you are married, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you got to pay the bills, take care of everything. You got to do everything. You got to make sure it continues on, and when all hell's breaking loose, that's what love is. Love is not an emotion. God is not an emotion. Do you understand that? So when we realize that, we go, okay, then what is this I need to know? Well, you need to know what the scriptures say. There's two types of love in scripture where God uses the term love the world. And he says this statement. So it sounds like it contradicts itself, but it doesn't when you understand what the word of God is teaching us, the context. So we know John 3:16, for God so loved the what? So God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son. What did God do? God so loved the world. And then 2 John 3, 2:15, it says, do not love the world. Interesting, huh? 2 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, didn't God love the world? Do you see what I'm saying? But anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him or her. So it's this is where we have to, God's making statements. He says, I love the world, and I'm going to make a place for that world to be able to come to me. I'm going to send Jesus. He's going to die for the world. And then he tells us on the world, don't love the world. So in the statement of do not love this world or the things of this world is love that breaks you. That God so loved the world is the love that builds you. It's either going to break or build. And that's the issue we need to understand, because what happens is it's not realizing the context or the operation of God's love. Once you do, and again, there's so many different pictures of one translated word for love in a lot of scripture translations that are not necessarily agape. That's God love. And it's defined love, phileo, which is not agape love. That is an emotional love. There's a couple other words, but I'm going to just get to the understanding of the love we need to get, and that is the agape. Because ultimately, that's where your success lies for you personally, for you to know God's love. Because I'm telling you right now, without the understanding of God's love, and I've said this over the years, over and over and over, you will always have a difficulty in entering into the walk of the Spirit. And remember, this is not a spiritual thing. It's not this crazy thing. It's the place of, I am operating my life God first. So everything I do is connected to God first. Does that mean, okay, God first, if I'm driving, I need to be praying and worshiping God. Am I wearing Christian clothing? God first. That's not it. That's not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is my ability to drive to work and a car cuts me off with a Colorado license plate. Cuts me right off. Walking in the Spirit is for me to go, bless you. And I pray for, you know, your life to be just wonderful here on your trip. And hopefully you go soon. No. But that's walking in the Spirit. Do you understand? Walking in the flesh would be doing things I used to do when I wasn't born again. Right? Getting an attitude, getting mad, getting angry. Now, do I always walk in the Spirit? No way. I'm working on it. But the key is my position of life, my whole heart is I want to do what God wants me to do. He wants me to walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what he wants me to do. He says, do this. Put off that old action. Put off the old way. I know going through the process of my boys getting to a place of getting driver's license and driving and everything changes in the dynamics. Before it was sitting back, shut up, I drive. You know, I don't need input, I don't need what you feel or think. And now that they're driving, there's this place of coach and a place of, you know, okay, they've got to do it, they've got to learn and things. And the tendency is I want to push my driving habits in them. which is not a good thing. For me, it's okay. I've been doing it for so long, I can do it. But, and honestly, I tell them, I let them know. I go, I don't want you to drive like me, okay? Even though it's awesome. But either way, it's a place where you get caught up in the frustration of driving, and they can get caught up into it too. And then you ultimately realize, what's it going to do? Nothing. It doesn't change these freaks. I mean, these people. I mean, you see it over and over and over. But the point is okay, what am I going to do about it? Well, I got to walk in love. So if I can't say something, just zip it. It doesn't matter. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at this and show the difference between the two in the sense of, I want to relate to the life of God for me. That's more than anything. And so over the past couple months, I'm trying to get us to connect to your personal walk. What do you need to be doing? How do you need to be doing it? Well, just those two statements can be abused. Because then I'm going to define it, but through action. Now, I'm not talking about me personally. I'm saying this is what I've seen over the years of ministry and as my life as a believer. Is it's usually defined by the person's how they live their life and what they see as what are the parameters. So, you know, it's if I put you on my parameters, you don't have time to go to a job. None of you do, which some of you are probably going, heck yeah, that's I'll take that. But it's a true statement. So what am I going to judge? Well, if I'm praying, you know, hours, and I'm talking about personal prayer time, my life is prayer to God. I don't turn God off. That's prayer, by the way. Prayer in Scripture is communication. But there is also the communication time where you need to do it by yourself, alone, and it is a personal time for you to connect with God. Through the day, it's your constant casting care, communication. God, I need wisdom. Help me, Jesus, on these staff members. It's this kind of stuff. So, but that's me and my communication with God. That's how I do it. So it's walking in the Spirit. But you have to have that personal time. If you don't have that personal time, and I promise you, listen carefully. You are giving personal time to something. I know, hurts, doesn't it? So we want to fix that. We want you to realize, see, everybody wants the benefit of doing the right thing. Everybody. But not everybody wants to do the right thing. Emotions, the love of the world, the love of the lust, the desires, money. You got all these drives, and the tendency is you let that dictate your life. So you make bad choices. But then you want and assume, or you put this place of, but it should be beneficial. It shouldn't. God gave you how to get your life in line, how to do it right, how to love right, how to be a right friend, how to be a right husband, how to be a right wife, all these things, how to be a good parent, how to be good children. It's all there. So we either abide by the word or we do it our own way, but don't think God results on your own way. That's why you're not to lean to your own understanding. You got to acknowledge him. Put in his word first for your life. If you don't, you will be a statistic, I promise you. I don't care how much everybody, all the Christianese, and oh, they're going to this and that, and it's going to be beautiful, blah, 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 blah. Sasha said it at the beginning, whatever a person sows is what they reap. You can play religion and Christianese all you want, but what have you been sowing? See, it's not what people are seeing. What are you sowing? And you know what I'm talking about. What are you sowing? And we've seen it. People have seen it. Young people have seen it in church people that have been sowing to bad things, and that bad thing happens. And that's not what we want. Amen? So culture defines love as acceptance without truth. That's how the world system works. So the world is out there and say, Everything's about love. And this is how love is. So love accepts everything, period. It doesn't matter what it is. Love loves. Even love loves without any truth to why it's loving. So biblical love is always defined by God, not culture. Never forget that. The dangers of how culture does it is love is always good. Love is always good. That's why you'll hear, maybe you even thought this. Well, if God loves, why would he send people to hell? You ever thought that way? Anybody ever, that was something you were like, yeah, that's, I used to believe that. Why? Why would he do that? You keep telling me God loves, God loves, God, why is he sending people to hell? Well, we know he doesn't send anyone to hell. We already know that. How do I know that? Not because I came up with that opinion or feeling, because the word says so. The word taught us. The word shows us that no one is supposed to go to hell. But everybody makes a choice to. See, the choice is not hell. The choice is life. Do you understand that? That's all it is. The choice is life. Everything else just falls in that parameter of eternity from God. And that's it. That's all it is. So God created hell for Satan and the fallen angels. That's what it was created for. Now, because of fallen nature, we have to align ourselves up with God's nature. Just like Adam and Eve, they were born on this earth, and in the birth of their lives, they were perfect in relationship with God. The moment sin entered in, it stopped that relationship. And that's the story that we all live. Because of that fall, it affects everybody. Not if you're sinning or not sinning. That's not the point. The point is your nature is apart from God. The moment you receive Jesus, you get a new nature. Hell is not in your pathway. Hell is not in your pathway. Do you understand that? All right, just so you get that. So let God define this. Let God do it. If you listen to the world, they pretty much put Jesus as this, you know, hippie, 60s hippie, that walks around with flower power shirts and just says peace, love, love everybody, love everybody. That's what he does. Or they relate to him as a messenger of love. Don't be judgmental on anything. Just love, love, love. And that's what the world does. The world is doing everything it can to rob you from God love. See, God love changes. The other love doesn't. You on a path for destruction, that love keeps you on that path. So that's not what we want, amen? So what we want to do is make sure we don't, listen, we don't want to ruin our lives based upon our definition of love. Because we see this in Scripture. If you look at Scripture, it's, and you even know things that have happened in people that are friends of yours or family members. You have seen these things happen in their lives. And this is what's so amazing. And what I've seen, you know, over the 45 plus years of ministry, this is what I've seen. You get people that love success so much, they lost their family. They love approval so much, they lost their identity. They love money so much, they lost their peace. They love pleasure so much, they lost their purpose. They love relationships so much, they lost themselves. It's not what they loved, okay? It's not that they loved, it's what they loved. And that's what you understand. You start looking at it and saying, see, love is something that should be coming out of our lives. That's what Jesus kept communicating and what John talks about a lot. He's talking about us loving one another, us loving the world as Christ loved the world. Now, there's another, wait a minute, I thought God said don't love the world. There's the difference in those two action words. God's saying, I want you to love like I love. See, God doesn't love the system. God loves the people. God doesn't love the people's actions. He loves the people. God loves people, not period. God loves people so that they can change. And by the way, that's the Greek word repent. Repent has turned into a religious word. All it means is to change direction. That's what he's always wanted. I want you to change direction. This is your pathway. Your pathway was you are separated from me and your nature is not a part of my nature. You receive Jesus and all of a sudden that changes. It changes. Repent. It changes direction. And now you're on a whole total different direction. Now we're dealing with, as believers, we're dealing with flesh. And that's all of a sudden the New Testament talks about it. The nature of the flesh. It talks about the acts of flesh and the lust and to put off the old ways, the old nature. That's what it talks about. But it's not talking about your nature. It's talking about the actions of your past. So we understand that. Proverbs 4:23 says this, and this is so important to understand. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Now, when you're looking at your life and you're thinking, okay, what do I need to put as priority, you know, in my understanding as a believer? Well, the word keep is natsar. Natsar is a military term. And what it would look like is say, a sergeant would go to one of the soldiers and he would say, I need you to guard this position. Okay? He doesn't have to add anything to that because the soldier already understands that me guarding means guarding it with my life. I can't run. I can't hide. I can't quit. I got to guard this with my life. So it's something valuable. It's something that has to be fortified. It's a place where you are now in a position to where you're awake, you're aware, you're on guard, and you will kill to protect. You all understand that. Now, let's read it again. Keep, guard your heart with all diligence. That means you got to be aggressive. You can't just go through life just, well, whatever happens, happens. No, you've got to get an attitude of, I need to protect this thing here. I need to protect myself. Are you guys getting this? Are you understanding? Okay, so, because what happens is when you look at what does scripture talk about when it talks about heart, it means relationships. It means how you live your life, your habits, your decisions. That's all tied to your heart. That's the area of the soul. Your mind, your will, your intellect, that's where the emotions are. Your spirit is who you are. But on this earth, because we're not operating in heaven, we operate in the area of the soul. Now, the spirit in control aligns the soul to God actions. Do you understand that? God actions. But this is an area where you know how you learn something and there's this deep area of thought where it's like sometimes so difficult, but once you break that matrix, once you break through, all of a sudden you're like, oh man, this is easy. But there's always that one area where you're like, right? Okay, so that's why we try to help everyone that comes to be a part of Love Life to get through the basics of new creation. The new creation realities that all the New Testament teaches. And in the new creation, it helps you understand these things that I talk about to where God's saying, once you break through, it's not a difficult thing to build upon. But a lot of people come here with no one and been in church for years and have no understanding of New Testament. None whatsoever. They've been religionized. They've been taught doctrines, whatever. And I'm not saying every, I'm just saying majority. Majority are not taught new creation. They're taught church stuff. They're taught religious stuff. Not life. The true understanding of grace, the true understanding of what faith is, the things that you need to understand. The Bible says over and over and over, you have to live a life fearless. No fear in your life. Now, I know right now I could say everybody that still has fear and you're operating in fear, a whole bunch of hands would go up. But what does God's word say? Do not fear. God is not giving you a spirit of fear. Don't fear. And everybody hears that. Okay, I can read it over and over and over, and you'll go, okay, okay, okay. And then you'll go out there and do what? You operate in fear. Am I going to keep my job? Is my house going to change? Is my husband? Is my wife? What happens now? I'm divorced. I'm this. I'm that. And all of a sudden, what happened? Fear. Now, there's a reason why God attacks fear. Because it does not align with the words of Jesus. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. You know why? Because you write off life. In any failure, in any fault, yours or not, in any issue, any problem, and that fear is alive in there, you write off. And so you put in there, well, I can't, I won't, I'll never. And that's not how God operates. God operates on, I need to get you to where I want you, and I've always wanted you. And that's my job as a spiritual papa, is to get you to understand that. So I don't talk this way in the sense of, hear what I have to say and make your decision. I don't think so. I think I talk with authority in from my heart. And I know for a fact, because I've been doing this as long as I have, again, just in love life, 30 years, that we've seen thousands of people's lives changed from New Testament teaching to where they came in with thinking they knew stuff, religious, whatever the case may be, and all of a sudden started seeing who they could be and what they could become and start doing it. You don't know how many men have come into this church and be a part of this church that swore to God and everybody else that they would never set foot in the church and end up coming here. I've had it over and over and over. So if you are married and you have a husband that way, I have a specific word from God on this area. He just told me this when I first started the church. He said, husbands that have never gone to church will come and be a part of this church. So I've told people this for years, and we've seen it happen over and over and over. So don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Listen, this is what the word is. It's filled with hope. The world is not. Religion is not. And that's why you get frustrated and pain and emotional. You're not listening to the right words, and I need you to listen to the right words. Amen? Because that's what God wants for your life more than anything. He wants you free. You're still living. You're necessary and you're needed in the kingdom of God. Amen? All right. So, one thing you need to know about choices and the destruction tied to misconception of love is Bible shows us all kinds of issues and problems. It shows us people that successful or had problems in their lives and became successful, make mistakes, overcome mistakes. I mean, worse than our lives. And we can make statements of, I could never be used, I can never this. I rarely believe there's very few Christians or believers I know of that ultimately will go out in this world, whatever they're doing, and deny Jesus over and over. I believe you can be dumb. I believe you can not make statements or maybe, you know, don't bring the subject up. But to sit there and go, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe there's many believers that would do that. Peter did. And he lived with Jesus for 3.5 years. So don't ever get to that place of never me. So people rarely fall into destruction overnight. You got Judas. Listen, Judas was picked by Jesus to be part of the 12. Never forget that. But Judas loved money. Now, could he have overcome it? Of course he could have. We don't want to look at that, but it's a fact. He continued in a position of loving money and operating in where he was stealing it, just robbing money from the ministry of Jesus. And it says so in Scripture, which ultimately, because that love of money led him to, because he didn't have a relationship, give Jesus up. He kissed him. He's the one. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? But see, believers don't want to hear these things. You need to, because it is an example or a picture for the power of certain things to pull you away when you thought you would never do that. Solomon, the dude loved women. I mean, you read this thing, it's like, number one problem, you went to number two, wife. I mean, you didn't stop there, but that was the number one problem. What happens is Solomon not only had wives, but concubines, which are extra wives, thousands. Yeah, I know, it's a Father's Day message. But anyway, it's pretty crazy. But there was an influence. Now, if you pay attention to his life, he loved women more than he loved God's word. That's what it ultimately came down to. And that was his downfall. That was Solomon's downfall. The wisest man in the world wasn't destroyed by ignorance. He was destroyed by lust. That's pretty crazy, huh? Then you have, remember the rich young ruler where he came up to Jesus and said, hey, Lord, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life, you know? And Jesus said, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. He goes, I got it. I'm good on all those ones. And Jesus didn't give the Ten Commandments. He just gave those specific ones. And the rich young ruler, man, he's like going, I own it. That's me. I follow those. And then he said, oh, wait, one last thing. Give all your money away. He was rich. Give all your money away and come follow me. Do you think Jesus is lying? Do you think he was just, you know, giving him a little, you know, carrot to, here, follow it? No. I believe he meant what he said. And what did the guy do? It says he turned away and walked away because he was rich. The riches had him. The riches will destroy your life. They make a horrible Lord. Great servant, but you'll act differently with riches if they're serving you. But I see most people loving riches, and you can see who owns it because decisions align with that. And that's what you don't want to. Every downfall begins with misplaced love. You misplace love in homes, family, whatever. I mean, it's something that destroys life. It's not instantly, it's a process, okay? Let's look at the love that builds you, all right? Again, real love originates from God, not the culture, not this world system, so we have to allow God to define it. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love, okay? So genuine love is always gonna draw you closer to God. Uh-oh. Single people. Genuine love is always going to draw you closer to God. That'll help you define, does he love me? Does he love me? Let me see, what are you doing in that quote definition of love? Is it filled with nasty and lust and all that? Is that drawing you closer to God? Let me see. Let me remind myself. Did I get closer to God when I was lusting and desiring? Oh, let me see. Did I get close? That's not even for question. Right? Now, I know we don't want to hear these things because we'd rather be ignorant. I don't want to hear that. I want to keep doing it my way and get God's results. Come on. Parents, you need to listen to me too. Actually, you need to listen to me more. You got to put God first. Matthew 22, 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus said, that's the greatest commandment. Love God with everything. Amen? Love God with everything. It's not difficult. Think about what he's done for you. He sent Jesus to die for you. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. He said, I love you first. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. He said, you didn't first love me. I loved you first. He said, well, while you are yet miserable, rotten, sinner, no good people, I died for you. Love God with your heart, soul, and mind. It's not difficult. When you start seeing that, hearing that, it's not hard. The issue at hand is that area of love. So now we're going, okay, works, legalism. No. A heart that says, God, I'm working toward everything to prioritize you first. Does it happen overnight? Heck no. In a week? In a month? In a year? No, it's a walk. It's living this life, peripetuo, walk in the spirit, peripetuo, walk in the flesh, and what you've done, how is that walking? How's my life the way it is now? Well, now it's because I've walked in God's ways more than I walked in the world's ways, what I used to do. The world's way, I peripetuo, lived my life, built my habits, made my decision-making process, and in that was opposite God. But I'm not thinking about it. I don't get up every morning and think, oh, what bad thought am I going to think today? What bad decision am I going to make? No, it's my life. I'm walking in the flesh, walking in the natural. When I get born again, he says, now walk in the spirit. Changing, Romans 12, 2, renewing the mind, transforming your life because different information makes the change. Not the same information, different information. As the different information comes in, then I start walking in that information. This is not holier. Oh, praise the Lord. And I got crosses and Christian bumper stickers. That's not walking in the spirit. Walking in the Spirit is getting God's word in me and start making choices based on his word. Don't hate that out-of-state driver. Love them. Walking in the Spirit. Are you guys hearing me? Okay. You guys are going to think I'm out there freaking out. I'm not. It's just the last thing that I saw. And I won't even get into what I saw. Are you guys hearing? Okay. So, the power of love. Love is the most powerful force shaping our lives. Understand this. You move toward what you love. No. This isn't let me give you some spiritual, scriptural truth. You already know this. There's certain types of foods you love that you would gravitate more toward. Right? Certain type of vehicles, certain type of clothes, certain whatever it is, you gravitate toward what you love. If you love family, if you love work, if you love golfing, love basketball, love whatever, and we understand that. I'm not saying that's evil. I'm just saying, isn't that true? So how do I know? How do I know if you love it? Well, what's priority of your life? What are you talking about all the time? What do you think about? That'll determine what you love. So we understand that, right? Everybody got that? Okay. Love moves toward you move toward what you love. You sacrifice for what you love. I've seen this over years. I'll just tell you an area of things that I can't stand. I hate. And there are certain things that I hate. And that's when I hate knowing that a family has an issue of not being able to pay bills, but that stinking man in the home would rather buy rims for his new vehicle. I can't stand that. You don't know how many times I've seen stuff like that. I hate it. So you better not be doing that kind of stuff. Forget those stinking ribs, rims. And take care of your house. I've seen that. I can't stand it again. So you sacrifice. You're going to sacrifice in that way. That's what's interesting when the scripture uses, and this is the only scripture tied to loving God and something else. You know what it's tied to? Money. This is an amazing thing. Now, if we quit being goofy, spiritual, and religious, we all recognize that everything in life operates around money. Everything. Everything. Every person born on this earth operates on money. It affects every person. The moment you're born, money, lack of, affects you. Right? So let's don't be dumb. Let's just go, yes, you're right. Money is issue. And then God comes in his word and establishes the love of money is one thing that will kick me out of your life. You can play religion and play hallelujah all you want, but if money becomes authority where you dictate your decisions based upon money, God, it says, you are going to serve God, me, or you're going to serve the money. But it's not both. And I've seen believers get connected to the love of money thing, and I watch God get pushed aside. Like I said, how many years of ministry have I been in? This 45 years. We opened this 30 years ago. So I've been doing it quite a while now, and I've seen this over and over and over. I've seen people that have money, and they use it wisely, and they don't love it. I wish I could say something rather than this, but it's rare. But I've seen it. And y'all know, I mean, and don't think rich people, it's all about money. No, poor people are messed up with money more than anybody. Poor people think about money more than rich people do. It's just the truth. Because I've been poor and I thought about it more. I ain't rich yet, but I've been poor and thought about it more. I'm just telling you right now. I don't even think about it. God's my provider. But I would like to have a lot more. I'm not talking about for me at all. Anybody knows me knows my statements. Now, it's difficult for church and pastors to make that statement because most of the time, yeah, they want more money because they want to build their own kingdom. That's a fact, and we all know that, right? That happens a lot. But I've got a walk and a fruit that proves everything opposite of that. Yeah, I get some money, I guarantee you, the first thing I'm doing is going to Glendale, and going to an architect, going to Glendale, and getting all the information going to build our children's ministry, to get this building and this land that God said, God gave us this thing, and to finish it off. Quit having a bunch of dirt back there. But that's what I would do. It's not even a second thought. I wouldn't even have to go, what should I do? I've already done it. I just got to get the physical part of it. In here, I've already done it. I've done everything I need to know about what I need to do here. And I did it with this thing, and I'll do it again. It's a fact. So unbuckle the seatbelts. We're going for a crazy ride. Don't buckle down. Unbuckle them. Let's get wild in this place. All right? Anyway, you got to love God first, okay? Next. Oh, my goodness. That was a good part of this. When it says the greatest commandment, he's also communicates in the area of loving God where Pastor Lau talked about on Mother's Day. And she made the mention of an idol worship, and then defined it really good in different things that idol, because we don't use the term idol. Well, that's an idol. And oh, yeah, I really love doing it. It's an idol. We don't do that. But what we need to understand is what biblical definition of an idol is. Because back then, it was a created image to worship it. That was an idol. So they would make things. They would make sticks together, and they would get a dirt clod. Honestly, they would get whatever they could, and they would worship that as God. So they would worship an idol instead of the living God. And that's what Old Testament through New Testament, that's what we see. And then we see people that aren't even believers. They're worshiping idols. They're sacrificing to idols, things that aren't real. But to them, they created this image of, this is what I worship. So anything that pulls you away from God and you prioritize becomes an idol. People can be an idol in your life. Different things that pull you away from God are idols. Yeah, so don't look at it in a religious picture. Look at it as a life picture of, there are certain things that you're bowing to right now and worshiping that are destroying your life. That's an idol by biblical definition, okay? Everybody got that? And God says, you'll have no idol before me. He's telling you, get rid of all of them. Get rid of these things. And when you look at what God is talking about, what he's trying to give us a picture, again, idol, religion, picture is religious. When you bring it into function in life, you start realizing, okay, by biblical definition, this is what it is. I don't call it an idol. I do, by actions, worship it. But also, you got to understand, there are good idols in life that just move into a wrong action of life. So there are good things that you, like a family, a marriage, and things that you worship or you put in perspective of importance, right? Do you understand this? Because I don't want to get to a place where everything, if it isn't church, isn't God, isn't, you know, salute right, whatever. I want it to pertain to life. And so I'm very cautious on these things because we can get into definition and understanding and all of a sudden legalize it into a wrong picture. That's all I'm trying to do. But again, an idol's not always a bad thing. If it takes the place of God, it is. Do you follow me? If it takes the place of God. And remember, the quality of your life is determined by the object of your love. So whatever you love, whatever you're directing your love to, that's what's leading your life. The power of love, it values truth. It values truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Real life doesn't say, well, it just feels right. That's not real love. You understand me? What happens, a lot of people get caught in traps in their life based upon opinion and feeling. And then we want to blame on God when we end up in a wrong place. When everything's messed up and everything isn't working anymore, then we want to say, God, and it this and it should, I should have, and I don't know why God didn't do this, and God should have. No, he shouldn't have done anything. He's given you opportunity to hear the truth and operate in that truth. If you go your way, that's you. One of the greatest scriptures that helped me understand what I'm talking about right now was the understanding of this. Very simple, very easy to get. Does everybody in this world get saved? We can say that right away, right? It's not hard to say that, right? No. Is it God's will for everybody to be saved? Yes. That there will help you understand everything that I'm just saying. Your will is more powerful than God's will. I just told you the scripture. God's will is all to be saved. Do all get saved? Your will is greater than God's will. Quit blaming God. God can't override your will. If he could override your will, everybody would be saved. He'd just go, no, you're not doing that. You're not going to be that way. You're not going to say that. No, it doesn't work that way. If it was his will, he would have stopped Eve from going in that direction. Nope, no, get out of there. He came too late. After the fact, he comes walking in the cool of the day. No, you should have walked in before that. That's a Christian belief. That's what religious people do. God, why didn't you stop me? All right. I can see a lot of you are reflecting on that, about those other people that live that way. All right. Next thing is power of love produces sacrifice. No greater love has no one than this, than they to lay down one's life for his friends. That gives you a whole different teaching on friends. If you give a friendship teaching, you need a friendship teaching on this one, because it says to give your life for a friend. Well, that limits my friends down to one, maybe. You see what I'm saying? I'm talking about friends. My family, it's a no-brainer. I laid down my life for my wife and my two boys. And it's not even up for debate or a thought process. Even if they're nasty to me, it's not up for negotiation. Maybe. But the point, I have to be careful now, I'm going a little too deep. The point is it ultimately brings that place of, you know, perspective. But my gosh, why'd you use these words? Why do you use these words? He laid down his life. Friend. That was one of the confessions I made. A mentor that I learned quite a bit from, he used to make this confession. And he would say, God loves me. Man, I forgot the full things because it's so long since I've done that. But he would say, God loves me and I'm his friend. He would add in, I'm his friend. And just that statement helped me. And this is a long, 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 long time ago. But just the statement got me to get focused in on, I'm God's friend. I'm God's friend. I'm God's friend. How many of you have friends? How many of the, some of you guys need some help. How many of you have friends? All right, some of you don't, okay? I'll help you. Those that don't have friends, Scripture always says, he who wants friends must show himself friendly. That's on you, you mean person. That's what Scripture says. You ain't showing yourself friendly. That's why you don't got friends. All right, but those that have friends, how many of those friends are perfect all the time? They never bother you, never cause problems. They never get you angry. Everything about them is everything perfect, uplifts you, builds, and always benefits you and only you. Exactly, exactly. So that's not a definition of a friend, is it? No. But we can have people who are close to us that we can consider friends. And that's a good thing, all right? So it produces sacrifice. It produces obedience. If you love me, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my word. So love is not an emotion, it's an action. Right? The love in marriage is not an emotion, it's an action. You don't know how many times with church people, sitting down with them with problems in their marriage and say, I just don't feel love anymore. And now we speak with a Southern accent. I don't feel love. I don't feel the love. I don't feel that love anymore. I don't feel that love. Well, I believe you, but we're not talking about that love. We're talking about God love. We're talking about marriage love, agape love. It ain't about feeling. Now, feelings in that love should be beneficial and should be good, but that's not every day. So you're going to have problems. You're going to have issues. You're going to have iron sharpens iron. You're going to have these things, but the point is your life is tied to love. So it isn't I'm growing out of, I don't feel it. No, you don't feel the other emotions because of your wrong thinking. That's it. So I don't want to get deeper in that because it would be a long, long teaching, all right? Love changes you, and that's Romans 12 too, and that's what this is. You become like what you love. Remember that. Whatever you're loving is revealing itself. You be loving to eat more than exercise, it shows itself. I know you don't want to hear that. You loving to eat more than a couple times, three times, four times, six times, seven times. You love to eat, and we see it, all right? It's true, though, right? Now, think about that. Now, I know it's funny and everything, but think about it. But think about what we're using in that statement. Love. Do you really love to eat? You see what I'm saying? Those are the things when you look at it and you go, yeah, it's not that I love it. I just want, well, why? And those are the things that open the doors to other things. You're able to start, it gets more in the area of negotiating and realizing, wait a minute. I mean, I ain't gonna sacrifice myself for this. Right? So you start building upon it. But this is the problem with believers is we don't realize that's how we're supposed to live life. We're supposed to stop, think, and consciously process. If you don't, subconscious takes over. You ain't thinking about the fourth enchilada. You've always had the fourth enchilada. You know you only need two. We do this. There are certain types of, quote, desserts that come in my house that I don't care. And there's other types that I promise I'm going to only have a piece. And that's a lie. Well, why? I don't love it. But those are the things that if I don't consciously process it, my stomach will. My body will. I mean, it will. It'll say, okay, well, you wanna understand now what you should have thought about earlier? Well, you guys know what I'm talking about. Come on. So love is going to produce change in your life if you're following the love of God, right? So we're talking about the good love, it builds you. God's love is always going to build you, amen? And then there's the love that breaks you. And the love that breaks you is something that, are you kidding me? I don't have no time to finish that today. There's no way. What we need to do is we need to recognize that on this pathway, we start off with the process of realizing, you know, the picture of love is cleared in what am I focusing and putting my whole time into? Because that's going to show me. That's why I've said over the years, show me the people you hang with. Show me your friends, and I'll tell you exactly how your life is. Now, no, people like to hear that because no one likes to have revealing in them. But it's God's word. It's not Pastor Dan came up some, you know, no, I know what the word says. You don't hang out and be close to people if you don't love the things they're doing, and if they live a different life and they operate differently than you hanging out with that is, no, that's not contrary. No, because you're not trying to win them to Jesus. No, you're like them. But you don't want to see it because Christianese does that. And now, how many of you have hung out with wrong people and had friends as wrong people? And you didn't, I know we all have. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not everybody gets it perfect. There's some time. Whoa, let's don't even go there. Let's go to truth. How about they're good friends? But seasons happen. Things happen. I remember, you know, you can be a single in ministry and you have those type of actions. Then you get married and all of a sudden single marriage, it doesn't really work as well. Because then you got to be marriage, and then marriage with no kids. It's a whole different than marriage with kids. And we're just talking about one. And then you bring in two, it's a whole nother level. right? And then you bring in Delgados and you got to have a bus. The point is, this is what happens. You know, as your pastor, I'm not going to stop and like that. I'm going to get us to realize, because there's no way in the world I'm going to lay down a picture that says it's impossible. I'm going to bring the reality of truth so you can go, yeah, that's right. But it's up to me. And I see this isn't getting better and it's not getting in the right place it should be. And now I'm going to have to make changes. And that's all I've ever asked of anybody, including myself. Because those relationships can be awesome, but sometimes we can go through seasons that make it not so awesome. So what do? We love, we operate in grace, and we go through the process of helping. But if things don't change, then we change. Amen? Bad company corrupts. I see this all the time, especially with singles, and they start, getting that itch of, I don't have a job, I don't have a house, I don't have this, I don't have that, but I want to get married. And they get an itch of emotional ties, soul ties. And you think, Pastor, why would you talk that way? Because I've seen people kill themselves over that. I've seen teenagers kill themselves. I did youth ministry for a long time. I've seen destruction in this church. I've seen people hook up in this church. And the first thing I think of, okay, they're going to not be coming here anymore. And what happens? Exactly that. One gets mad, one does something wrong, one finds another girl, another guy, and all of a sudden, the two that were loving Jesus, serving and wanting it, all of a sudden, they're no longer here. Why? Because of a soul tie. It's so, so, so destructive. And soul ties, even the subject matter is, that's a deep teaching, because it can be even over inanimate. Because it's happening right now with AI. Oh, yeah. Where young people literally, their lives are dictated by artificial intelligence. And they believe it as God. You think, I know you, people think, well, that's crazy, that's freaky. It doesn't matter, it's true. And it's happening right now. And it's going to continue to happen. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Does that make all AI satanic? No. Not at all. Man, it's awesome for a lot of, tools and things like that. I mean, it is. I've used it working on my tractor and things I did. I would not have a clue. And now I've got this intelligence that's learning every second. And there's going to be something in subject matter that I'm going to find and go, oh, that I can work, use that. That'll work. That wrench, that fix, that. That's what it is. I've used it so many times where I would have to call a professional and pay hundreds of dollars for them to say, it's this. And now I can do AI and boom, it'll give me an understanding and even pinpoint it to this is the issue. I love that. But y'all know that's not the majority of why it's being used. People are using it, they were set up because social media, as friends, relationships, even love relationships with AI. Now we have statistics of people that have literally killed themselves because of AI. All I'm saying is what's true. So ultimately, us living this life, we live correctly. And we live correctly by recognizing, hey, this is not a good way. I'm in a wrong position, or maybe I'm not, and maybe this is, maybe it's not. It's the ability to get information from God to say, okay, well, let's fix this, or let's help this, or let's work through this, or let's stop this, or let's do this. That's what God wants for your life, to be a part of it. And the reason why he isn't is because we shut him out. We're not good enough, we don't feel right enough, we didn't pray enough, we didn't read enough, we didn't church enough. We make all kinds of excuses when God says, come to me, come to me. Some of you need to do just that. You've been going through too much crapito in your life Some of you are going through things, you don't have answers, or you're in a position of confusion. You have things where you're like, why me? How could this? And see, I know how the enemy works. And he wants you to stay right there. Because when God gets in your life, healing, wholeness, restoration, deliverance, that's when the transition happens. I've seen it over and over and over and over. I've seen it in my own personal life. What you got to do is get connected to that. And that's forget all of the past, which Paul said. I let go of my past. I let go of it. It's, if it's my fault or if it's not my fault, my responsibility is to let it go. You're not being careless. You're doing what God's asked you to do. Forget that past. And then he says, press toward him. And that's what Paul did. To a point where he could literally argue the point that he loves Jesus more than anybody. He loves the church more than anybody. And he was killing the church. And he had nothing to do with Jesus. So there was a transformation of anti-Jesus, anti-church, to killing people, to a position of, that's never been a part of my life. Yes. Oh my gosh, is that awesome? You have hope. Yes. All your head, everybody bow your heads. Out there in the live stream, bow your head. Father, I speak over everyone right now in the name of Jesus for the purpose of God's love. We have that love in us. But a lot of times it's never engaged with. So I ask, Father, that wisdom would come upon every person that hears my voice. That wisdom from you to engage that love. Because they need it. Some are broken. Some are hurt. Some are losing hope. Some are living hopeless times. Either way, this is not your will for their lives. This is a lie of the enemy. It's destructive, and the only purpose is to continue down a dark path of life to get you out of who you truly are. God says you're needed. God says you're wanted. And God says you got to let this go. So I want you to make this confession of faith with me from your heart. Just because you're repeating after me doesn't mean it's real. I mean, a child learns through repetition. This doesn't make it not real. This is life. So I'm helping you because my heart, my true heart is for you to walk in freedom, liberty, for your life to be healed, whole, and for the brightness of God's love to come alive in your area of the soul. So repeat these words with your heart open to receive what I'm about to say. Say this after me. Say, I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes me a new creation, part of his family. I am no longer a part of the old nature. I live in this new one. Therefore, I will obey God's word concerning my new life. He said, fear not. So I will no longer fear. He said, when we confess our sins, he forgives us. There is no connection of holding on to anything. God forgives, God forgets. That's the word. I have the issue of not forgetting. But today is my new day. And I proclaim that I will forget all the things in my past. I will forget the hurt, the pain, the fear. I will forget the lies of the enemy. And today, I walk in my authority that Jesus has given me from his work on the cross. This is mine, and I will live it. And I will be free. I will be free, delivered, healed, whole. Everything within me is healed and restored because this is the will of God for my life. Today is a new day, a new beginning for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now lift your hands, just praise him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just open your mouth, say thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for healing. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for wholeness. Thank you that I have no more fear. Thank you that I'm operating in your love. Thank you that the pain is no longer there. Thank you that my hope has risen. Thank you that my eyes see clearly now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Amen. All right, y'all. Love you guys. Have a wonderful day today.